Greetings, welcome, bienvenidos, hola, aloha, ni hao, namaste, konnichiwa, bonjour, buongiorno, sawadee, kurup, guten tag, jiao, weevi, valkat, bang, jai janendra, salam, shalom, peace, now, go vegan, peace, how, go vegan. From the duck and cover position, hiding from nuclear fallout under my radioactive protective formica desk on the left coast of the genetically mutated McNugget pharmaceutical vivisection prison, Kilitary Industrial Corporation, in the cheese-covered, post-constitutional, bankster, bankrupt, bribocratic, corruptocracy, mocracy, criminocracy of the United States of Listeria, home of Uncle Salmonella, where they sure eat a lot of dead animal body parts. This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden, radioactivism against radioactivity, no nukes, no war, no meat, free the animals, and arrest all GE executives, everyone involved with the nuke industry. Arrest them all, huh? Everyone who was supposed to protect us from nukes, Obama, the mouthpiece, Guantanamo Obama. Let's put them all down there, huh? Radioactivism against radioactivity, no nukes, no war, no meat, indeed. It's a little hard to be cheerful, but, okay, well, let a smile be your umbrella if you want a mouthful of nuclear rain. The corporations have made it such a cheerful world, from the food that you eat that gives you cancer to the energy that you use that gives you cancer. CNN says Japan dumped thousands of tons of radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean starting this past Monday. Basically ending all life on Earth forever. Oh, sorry, I'm not supposed to insert commentary into a factual CNN report, which, as I said, reveals Japan dumping thousands of tons of radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean. Did they need permission for that at all, or is that just okay with everyone? And all of these brilliant nuclear scientists, huh? Could they have just been a little better at planning? Then, a couple of diesel generators, an 8-pack of size D batteries, and a fire hose, and then it's, thousands of tons of radioactive water in the Pacific Ocean. And hey, isn't that the ocean that I'm viewing right now? Oh, and I would be very concerned, if I were a fish-eating veg aquarium. And how raw can sushi actually be after being zapped by radiation? As if anyone would want to eat raw fish anyway. As if anyone would want to eat any fish anyway. But now, with a Pesca Plutonium Pacific, BP oil and dispersant-soaked so-called seafood from the Gulf almost sounds like a health food compared to Pacific Ocean nuclear fish. It's hard to believe. It almost makes you long for the good old days, for inconsequential events like Gulf oil spills. So inconsequential that you can get a safety bonus in your corporation. You remember that? The Transocean Corporation handing out safety bonuses to executives. I guess they can say, could have been worse. Could have been nuclear radiation that we spilled, right? So I don't know. I wouldn't want any of those. I wouldn't want to be eating fish or those fish oil supplements, those. I think now fish oil supplements will be, I guess you'll be able to check their potency by Geiger counter. Fish oil. Yes, as CNN reports, the Japanese nuke will puke 11,500 tons of radioactive water into the Pacific. Oh, and hey, surfers, get your Bob Linden radiation protection wetsuits. Step right up, step right up. And oops, don't step on the glowing seashells. Be careful there, Sonny. TEPCO, T-E-P-C-O, what can that stand for? Tyrants Ending Planet Company. When, you know, it's really strange when the better choice is to release 3 million gallons of radioactive water into the Pacific Ocean on purpose. This, in addition, by the way, to the leak, you know, there's a leak into the ocean about which, if you measure the radiation, yeah, that is 10 times what is permissible for food. So there's that leak, and then the dumping of water on purpose. CNN quotes University of Michigan nuclear engineering professor Gary Woz, quote, 11,500 tons is about 3 million gallons. A spent fuel pool holds about 300,000 gallons. So this amount of water is equivalent to the volume of roughly 10 spent fuel pools. Hey, surfers, step right up, step right up. Your radioactive protective wetsuits right here. Step right up. It does, though, also say in the story, it says, quote, experts say the radiation will be quickly diluted, minimizing risk. As they always say, and I want consumer protection. I have had it, as that chant went in Wisconsin, led by Michael Moore. What a powerful chant, too, right? We have had it. We have had it. Very powerful. Anyway, so I want so-called seafood to be labeled both for shelf life and half-life. Do you really want that tuna fish sandwich to be with you for, what, 25,000 years, 100,000 years? Half-life labels for fish sold in stores as food. That's my new cause. And, you know, I mean, and if you're sure that, you know, the decomposing fish cadaver that you purchase is free of radiation, well, then you're free to worry about, well, the usual worries about fish and fish oil consumption. Neurotoxin mercury, yes, a neurotoxin affecting the brain, especially of infants and newborns, affecting child development, mercury, PCBs, dioxin, pesticides, herbicides, cholesterol, the wonderful nuclear free fish. Have enough to worry about too, huh? I don't know, have we messed with the oceans enough yet? All the agricultural waste, the overfishing. Warning, angry oceans may produce tsunamis. And it seems to be the age of angry oceans and mad cow disease. What took them so long to get angry and mad? How can we ever apologize, huh? No war, no nukes, no meat. If not, no hope. But no pressure. Just go vegan. Go vegan, be happy. The results of a survey of 2,068 vegans have been released by Dr. Janice Stanger, author of The Perfect Formula Diet. 70% said they got healthier after going vegan. Less than 2% said they got less healthy. Over half said their energy level improved, and 44% said they got more active after going vegan. 97% of vegans regarding responding say they enjoy food of their vegan lifestyle, and 95% say they intend to stay vegan for the rest of their lives. Holy cow, what could be going on in the minds of the other 5%, huh? Now, listen here, I want you to see this here. Now, you know, once you go vegan, you can never go back. You go vegan for life, you get it, you see? You stay vegan, and nobody gets hurt. 91% of vegan respondents said they are vegan to make a difference for the animals. About 3/4 of respondents saying that they enjoy cooking more now that they are vegan. 71% feel closer to animals and nature. 86% feel that they are making a difference for the environment. And you can read more about the survey and Janice Stanger's informative book, The Perfect Formula Diet, which is based on over 1,000 scientific studies studies. Check it out at perfectformuladiet.com. And you will learn about the Perfect Formula Diet, which is vegan. And if you don't want to believe me because I am prejudiced by my vegan moral superiority and adoration of animals, believe over 1,000 scientific studies. And if you don't want to believe me that Cesar Chavez was a vegan animal rights activist, yes, vegan animal rights activist, well, don't believe me. Believe his granddaughter, who's coming up on today's program, Teresa Chavez Delgado. And coming up next, well, the dynamic duo of Jamie Kilstein and Allison Kilkenny, they have teamed up to create Citizen Radio. Perhaps you've seen him on Conan or a variety of cable channels, a comedic genius. And she, a well-respected reporter whom you've probably read in The Nation. I'll tell you all about them. I think you'll enjoy hearing from them next on Go Vegan with Bob Linden, radioactivism against radioactivity. And when you support Go Vegan Radio with a tax-deductible donation, you support progressive talk radio and free speech itself. In fact, your donation to Go Vegan with Bob Linden helps preserve the Constitution of the United States and democracy. So make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, go to goveganradio.org.
Cows, pigs, and chickens don't want to be food.
VeganEssentials.com, your award-winning online vegan superstore with over 1,200 different all-vegan products in stock. From food to footwear, personal care to household items, it's all there at VeganEssentials.com. Enter GVR for Go Vegan Radio in the coupon box for your 10% discount on all orders over $50. Limited time only, VeganEssentials.com. Call 866-88-VEGAN, vegan owned and operated, VeganEssentials.com. Enter GVR in the coupon box for 10% off now. What you want is at VeganEssentials.com. You'll love Loving Hut, the fastest growing chain of vegan restaurants ever, now with over 200 worldwide, the first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students and faculty have one at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. Visit lovinghut.us for the location near you, including three in San Francisco, Oak Ridge Mall in San Jose, and Elk Grove. You'll love Loving Hut. Visit lovinghut.us.
We got something for you who don't want meat. A natural soy product and a tasty treat. It's tofurkey. That's what I said, tofurkey. There's tofurkey roast deli slices too. They have tofurkey sausage, even jerky to chew. We admit the name is kind of quirky, but once you taste it, you'll love tofurkey, tofurkey. Come on, give it a try. It's tofurkey.
See us at tofurkey.com.
T-O-F-U-R-K-Y, tofurkey.
Wherever quality natural foods are sold.
Chickens, we pet chickens.
Greetings again, it's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, Animal Liberation Media Infiltration. And, you can support our show in our bribocracy. We have to pay for airtime every week. You can donate online or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California 94147. Tax deductible. Free speech is expensive. And my next guests probably know the price of free speech and being a vegan in the world. About my next guests, Noam Chomsky has said, Jamie Kilstein and Allison Kilkenny have created an important political radio show that balances humor and unreported news. At a time when media conglomerates dominate the airwaves, independent media like Citizen Radio is vital to national discourse. I mean, that's Noam Chomsky. And well, you remember what Noam Chomsky said about Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Who's Bob Linden? And and also, he doesn't even eat eggs? Not even honey? Okay, that was Noam Chomsky. So Allison Kilkenny is a contributing writer to the Huffington Post, True Slant, Truth Out, Alternate, and The Nation. She currently blogs at AllisonKilkenny.com, and she is a regular guest on Sirius Radio and Grit TV with Laura Flanders, and her essay, Youth Surviving Subprime, appears in The Nation's new book, Meltdown, How Greed and Corruption Shattered Our Financial System and How We Can Recover. And, hi, Allison. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Fine, thanks. And you were paid a major compliment by G. Gordon Liddy, right? He appreciated your writing?
Yes. He's a huge, huge fan of mine. I believe he said, Allison Kilkenny's writing makes me want to vomit.
Ah, okay. And Jamie Kilstein is, perhaps you've seen him on Conan and Showtime's The Green Room, the Joy Behar Show on CNN, Comedy Central, MTV. He writes for The Onion. He's an international stand-up comedy star. And now there was a great quote about him, too, from Janine Garofalo saying, watching Jamie reminds me of why I got into comedy. It's like watching a combination of George Carlin and Bill Hicks, which is a great compliment. And Jamie, welcome to the show. How are you today?
I'm great. She actually then ended the blurb with, and where do you get your protein?
Ah, and where do you get your protein? And also, you had a major compliment paid to you, I guess, by Glenn Beck.
Yes.
Yeah.
He called me. I wasn't aware people still use this word, but Glenn Beck officially on his radio show called me a doofus.
Ah, okay.
Oh, interesting. Interesting you bring that up. Actually, G. Gordon Liddy called me and Glenn Greenwald greenie weenies, which was odd.
Republican humor.
Ah, Republican, the Repub liar cons. The oppressors are never funny, are they? I don't know. It's like,
no, we've actually had this conversation on the radio show. It is impossible to be funny when you're just mean and going after people who are already being completely brought down by the state.
Right. Comedy is the tool of the disenfranchised. You can't write great material if you're white and rich and control the world. Like, what's your joke?
Right. Yeah. Hey, you ever try to order one yacht and then and you get your yacht and there are only three maids on the yacht instead of four maids? What's up with that? Am I right?
Yeah. Luckily their behavior is the joke, right? I mean, you have all the material. I mean, I just have to try to make animal suffering palatable on a weekly basis, you know, make, you know, animal suffering humorous. You have to do the whole world's political scene, right?
Yeah, but you know what, man? I'll give credit to you. So I've been doing stand-up for 10 years and on stage, you know, I talk about the war, and I've had to talk about how I'm very against the war, and I've had to talk about that in front of people who are currently serving in the war. I talk a lot about religion. I've talked about it in the South. I've talked about it everywhere. The material that took me the longest to write and the longest to get laughs on stage was pro-vegan material. And I'm actually – I mean, it's really just the last couple months that I've started to get it to a point – where I can still get my message across without sacrificing anything and make it funny. But people get more defensive about the animal rights issues and about being vegan than they even did when I was like, your God's a homophobe.
Yeah, well, I guess you know, we are have a higher morality than they do, so how is it funny for somebody with a higher morality to preach to you? I don't know.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think the thing is, and this could be me being naive, but I think that anyone who's had a pet, anyone who's watched a cartoon with little animals, anyone who considers himself a decent person probably knows very deep down in their heart of hearts that not eating those animals that you claim to love or that you call cute is probably the right decision. So I really do think there's a part of them that the reason people lash out and the reason people get so defensive. I mean, dude, I've had people call me on being a vegan when I haven't even said anything. I've just ordered a portobello sandwich and they're like, what, are you a vegetarian? And they're so angry instantaneously. And I think it's because it kind of puts the onus on them that maybe they're doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Right. And then they may have to do something about it. And maybe it's a little hard to take for them, too, when we tell them everything that their parents taught them was wrong and everything else going on in the world is wrong and upside down. But it has to be told. And we have this radio show and you have Citizen Radio. So what topics are you covering lately there?
Well, we kind of pride ourselves on being radio for outcasts, so we try to focus on the underreported and the underreported or unreported. So we've been focusing on Libya, on the Ivory Coast, on these U.S. Uncut protests, you know, the corporate tax dodging, pretty much everything that the mainstream media has been ignoring.
And then at the same time, we just had Gary Francione on who talked about the animal, you know, the abolitionist approach to animal rights, and that stirred up. You know, what's really interesting is the show did not start off as a vegan show. You know, we started off because Allison and I are both very political. You know, she's political in her writing. I'm political in my comedy. And to be honest, I was a little nervous in the beginning when we started this, you know, this is like 3 or 4 years ago. I was kind of nervous to bring up the vegan thing because I'm like, all right, so we're already atheists. We're already against the war. We're Democrats, but we're not fans of the establishment Democrats. So, you know, we're much more, at least when it comes to ideals, in the Ralph Nader camp than we are in the Barack Obama camp.
With you there. Definitely, you know, he's Barack the Bummer to me, you know. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, Ralph Nader was our first guest, and that pissed off enough people. Like, we already alienated ourselves enough. Like, if you were looking at a business model of how do you make a successful show, I wouldn't go with the liberals who don't like Obama, don't believe in God, and on top of it are going to tell you what to eat. It's literally like the most unsuccessful model possible, unless we ended it with, and we're racist. Like, that's the only thing that could have made it less acceptable.
We're not racist, by the way.
Yeah, for sometimes liberals take things too seriously. We are not racist. That was a joke. So with the vegan thing, I was a little nervous to mention it, but then it just became such a part of our life and something that we cared so much about. And talk about speaking for the unrepresented. I mean, no one sticks up for animals unless there's, you know, a cute animal escapes from the zoo or a dangerous animal escapes from the zoo.
Yeah, and the issue of veganism has simultaneously been the most alienating thing we've talked about and also the most uniting topic we've talked about. We've literally gotten hundreds of emails from people who say they've gone vegan because of our show, which is amazing because we're not even a vegan podcast. Like, at no point in the creation of the show did Jamie and I ever look at each other and we're like, we're definitely going to talk about veganism.
Yeah, it just came up so much. And what was cool is, you know, so we brought it up one time and I did it very, like, trepidatiously. Like, I was really nervous about bringing it up and I'm like, maybe you shouldn't eat animals. Whatever. Anyway. And I probably changed the subject really quick. And then so many of our listeners, I mean, the thing is, it's all about, and you know this, it's all about getting the message out there because so many people just don't have the facts. They've been told by their doctors who took zero nutrition courses, you know, just what the doctor's parents told them. I mean, Allison and I, we went to the doctor's office the other day. I would say 80% of our doctors were obese and we saw three of them smoking outside. And so, you know, when it comes to nutrition, I don't know if I really want my advice from them compared to the empirical data that's been gathered by, you know, association after association. Anyway, so once we brought it up and once we were like, yeah, we're really healthy, you know, I mean, I do mixed martial arts every day. Allison does Bikram yoga, runs like 7 miles a day. And we told him how healthy we felt and we told him what actually happens at these factory farms. And it makes me the most mad when it's liberals because liberals claim to be environmentalists. And once that study came out showing that factory farms are the largest contributor to global warming, it was really time for our listeners to put up or shut up. And to their credit, or to, you know, hundreds of their credit, they started asking questions. And with all the email we get daily, that was what we got the most questions about, because people just had never heard about this. They didn't even know you could be a vegan. They didn't even know what the word vegan meant. And so people were like, hey, I really want to cut down meat, or, you know, what can I use to replace this? Or am I going to get, you know, and then a lot of the basic questions. And we just started answering them. And because we got so many emails and because people were so interested in it, that's when we became, you know, definitely, that's when we started really representing the vegan community, because our fans sort of demanded it. And what's so cool is the majority of people who did email us, you know, we have lots of people who are like, hey, because of you guys, I went from vegetarian to vegan. But what's the most exciting is we have people who, you know, live on farms who were like, I never thought about even going vegetarian until I heard your show, and now I'm a straight up vegan. And that, it's really encouraging. That's the thing, when people meet us, they're the most excited to tell us, they'll hug us and they'll be like, well, I'm a vegan now because of you, and I feel great, or I've lost weight, or I just am happy not to be contributing to this animal suffering. And, you know, people say you can't make a difference, but I mean, we've literally seen that you can.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, this is great. I mean, we're talking now to Jamie Kilstein and Allison Kilkenny, and they have Citizen Radio. The website is wearecitizenradio.com. And yeah, it's interesting what you say. I've been doing this, you know, Go Vegan with Bob Linden is on the air for 10 years now. And when I first went on the air, a potential advertiser said to me, well, you know, after you do two or three shows, what is there to talk about, you know? And
right.
And yeah. I haven't gotten to anything yet. I mean, now, when I was becoming my own personal vegan 27 years ago, I didn't realize all of the world implications. Like, well, who would imagine that meat and dairy cause 51% of all greenhouse gas emissions, and, you know, all the disease, the world hunger implications. We go to war over resources, you know, and it's, you know, I mean, it's everything. It's all the world issues. And my show was on Air America for a year, and everybody's complaining about everything. I'm saying, I have the solution to everything, you know? So how did you guys become vegan?
Oh, I became vegan when I was in college. I was just feeling really tired, and I went to my doctor, and he asked me, I actually miraculously found a really good doctor who asked me, well, are you consuming a lot of dairy? And I said, yeah, and I always feel really tired after I do that. But mind you, I was raised in the Midwest, so it never like occurred to me just not to eat cheese, because only weird people don't eat cheese. So I was like, can you give me a pill or something so I can eat cheese? And he looked at me like I was insane, and he was like, just stop eating dairy. It's making you sick. And I was like, oh, all right. So I did research into that, and then I heard about something called being a vegan, and I did research into that. And to PETA's credit, I know they get a lot of, you know, backlash because they're so celebrity oriented. But as soon as I saw Joaquin Phoenix and Alicia Silverstone, I was like, this seems kind of hip. Yeah. This seems cool. So, you know, like, I wanted to get more literature. I got the literature, and then I became vegan, and I've been vegan ever since then. And that was in 2001.
Yeah, something like that. I was a vegetarian when I was 16 because I was a hippie and liked the band Fish. But I was a really unhealthy vegetarian. So all I ate, because I didn't eat meat, was literally macaroni and cheese, grilled cheese, and pizza, and nachos, and cheese fries. And I was just like, hello, good health.
Like, not enough cheese in the diet. Perhaps if you added some cheese, might have felt better.
But I was so excited because I didn't eat Spam anymore. So I was like, I'm going to live forever. And, you know, I gained a lot of weight. I wasn't very healthy. And I moved to New York City, where the vegetarian food is amazing. I started eating a little better, but then I met Allison. And like all activists, I became a vegan to impress a girl. Where I met Allison, and she was a vegan. And it was interesting. I mean, this is why I can empathize with vegetarians or people who are trying to, or people who get mad.
Oops, Jamie, hold the thought. I need to take a break right now.
You got it.
And I will come right back to you. It's Go Vegan with Bob Linden, talking to Jamie Kilstein and Allison Kilkenny. We'll continue. If you've missed any of this, we archive at goveganradio.org.
All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of
looking for a realtor with the ethics of a vegan and nearly three decades experience in Bay Area real estate? meet Judith Brooks, REMAX pioneer.
Thanks, Bob. I've been a vegan for almost as long as I've been a real estate broker. I got my license in 1983, and I've been a vegan for about 20 years, which is the best decision I ever made for myself and my family. It has done wonders improving my health. And now I'm proud to say I have 3 healthy vegan grandchildren.
Judith, in your profession as a realtor, you actually practice what you teach.
There are some great opportunities for people, and my motto is selling dreams, not just houses. So I love to work with people, but these are challenging economic times for others who are vulnerable to disreputable people with scams and schemes. I just want everyone to know I'm here to help.
Call Judith Brooks, REMAX Pioneer, 888-258-6854. That's 888-258-6854. VeganEssentials.com, your award-winning online vegan superstore with over 1,200 different all-vegan products in stock. From food to footwear, personal care to household items, it's all there at VeganEssentials.com. Enter GVR for Go Vegan Radio in the coupon box for your 10% discount on all orders over $50. Limited time only, VeganEssentials.com. Call 866-88-VEGAN, vegan owned and operated, VeganEssentials.com. Enter GVR in the coupon box for 10% off now. What you want is at VeganEssentials.com.
Vegans are number one at number two. Meat makes you constipated.
Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic.
We continue on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And I ask that you help support the program. We're on progressive talk radio stations, and they charge us to be on the air. So your tax-deductible donation helps. You can donate online at goveganradio.org or make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio. Mail it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. There's our fund drive. And we are talking today with comedian extraordinaire Jamie Kilstein. And writer Allison Kilkenny, contributor to the Allison as a contributor to the Huffington Post, and to we did the intro before, so I don't want to run out of time. But and Jamie, you we were going to they're with Citizen Radio, and that's we are citizenradio.com. And tell us more about what's been going on Citizen Radio.
Sure. Well, first of all, Allison actually bailed on Huffington Post the second AOL bought them and is now just over at The Nation.
Where they pay contributors, which is a novel idea.
With the radio show, I realized I didn't do a great job of promoting it before. We also have really big guests. Like, I get so excited about the politics, but, you know, Noam Chomsky's done it a bunch. We had one of Howard Zinn's last interviews. Rachel Maddow's come on the show. Really cool activist bands like Bad Religion and Rise Against, who are a bunch of big vegans, have done it and we've become friends with. And then, actors and comedians who usually don't get to talk about politics, like Sarah Silverman just did our live show, and Regina Spektor, who's an amazing musician. And, you know, Sarah Silverman never gets to talk about politics, but she's actually, like, really passionate, and she's a vegetarian. And, you know, we try to bring these people and have them talk about issues. Like we said, you don't hear on the news much. We're completely member supported. We used to be at a station that took on some corporate sponsors that we didn't really like. So we left, and we're kind of hoping we could do it on our own. And, you know, again, like, you know, I mean, the people came through, and independent media, it's so necessary right now with everything that's going on that there are people out there willing to support it. But even if you're not a member, you get all the shows for free. We're 4 times a week, and you can look up Citizen Radio on iTunes or go to wearecitizenradio.com. I think what I was saying before about the being able to empathize with the meat eaters who get mad, even as a vegetarian, going back to that story, I remember when I was talking to Allison and she said she is a vegan. I was just like, well, screw you. Like, I just, like, automatically got so angry because I was like, oh, does that mean I have to be a vegan? Because, like, I hate salads. And at the time, I thought that's all vegans ate were just seeds, salads, and their own tears. And you just automatically do get defensive because I was like, I thought I was doing enough. But if you can just take that second back and you can step back from that anger and you can step back from the shame and you can kind of like put your ego on hold and do some reading and just read up or watch a video, or eat really good vegan food. I think that will, you know, change your mind pretty instantaneously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and again, every social issue is connected to the vegan cause. You know, I mean, so it's the key to everything: world hunger, poverty, all the disease we see, healthcare costs. That's the place to be. So
just not being a jerk, also, like, just don't not kill. Like, that's the thing. I always find myself in these like heady debates about global warming and about the amount of land it takes to feed so and so. But I'm also like, just don't kill animals. Like, right. Jesus Christ! Like, how easy is that? Like, they've literally done nothing to it. Like, people were all. Someone actually said to me, "Well, God made animals to eat." And it's like, well, don't you think he would have made it a little less harder to catch if we were supposed to eat them and not giving them, I don't know, legs? You know what
right.
I mean?
Giving them feelings, too, would have been also a good consideration.
Yeah, totally. God created children, but I know not to eat them. And I like animals more than I like most children.
Children are also more difficult to catch.
Children are, that's true. They can scream words and call for help and dial 911.
Yeah. Right. Well, I think it's great that you cover vegan issues among all of the politics on your programming on Citizen Radio. So we have maybe a minute left. So anything you wanted to get to that we haven't covered?
No, I mean, I would just say, again, here's the most important thing that we say on the show, because, you know, a lot of times if you do feel like you're preaching to the choir, you know, you probably, I'm assuming you have mainly vegans that listen to something called goveganradio.com.
No, .com, but this is actually on real radio stations.
Oh, right. So you'll get your people who are like, oh, is this Rush Limbaugh? Oh, they're hippies.
Right.
But with that said, I think for the vegans listening, what you have to do is remember that, you know, it's your job to be a good ambassador for the cause. It's your job to be loud and outspoken, but at the same time, compassionate, empathetic, funny about it.
And also to give people the benefit of the doubt and to not create this cartoonish figure in your head that you're constantly opposing that's going to be mean to you and not understand why you're vegan. We always tell our younger listeners who write in and say that, you know, they're thinking about going vegan, but they don't know how their parents are going to react. We say, give them the benefit of the doubt. They could be incredibly supportive.
Yeah, and that same kid actually emailed us back the next week. And he thought his parents were going to kick him out of the house. And his dad actually dusted off this old vegetarian cookbook he had from like the attic way back in the day. And he was supportive. Look, man, I train with a bunch of mixed martial arts fighters every day. And I bring up veganism in the locker room all the time. And they're actually really cool about it. And they're really curious. If you approach it the right way, you can really break through to a lot of people.
Well, wasn't the top MMA artist, Matt Danzig? Is that his name?
Oh, yeah. Well, Matt Danzig won the Ultimate Fighter. John Fitch, who's the number one contender for the welterweight title, just went vegan. Jake Shields, who's fighting George St. Pierre in the main event April 30th at the UFC, he's a vegan. I mean, yeah, it's really starting to become more mainstream.
Mm-hmm. Great. Okay. Well, I want to thank you guys for being with us today. It was great having you here, Jamie Kilstein and Allison Kilkenny. Check out the website. It is wearecitizenradio.com. The vegans are taking over the airwaves. It's not just the ABC, NNBC, CBS, Fox censorship channel anymore. Support your, support your alternative media. That's Citizen Radio. And I would say Go Vegan Radio also.
Thank you so much for what you do.
Thank you.
Thanks. Take care. Bye.
Don't try to
because we hurt animals.
Just take this pill.
Do you know the way to eat in San Jose? A special treat, no meat in San Jose. It's Vegetarian House Organic Vegan Restaurant, 520 East Santa Clara Street, downtown San Jose. Vegetarian House, a world-class dining experience since 1994, featuring fine cuisine from around the world. Vietnam, China, Thailand, India, Europe, the Middle East, and the Americas. Made from local organic GMO-free ingredients. Sauces, bean curd, and noodles made in-house. Powered by rooftop solar panels, Vegetarian House, concerned with the environment, compassion for animals, and your health, offers to-go packaging that's biodegradable and compostable. See the extensive menu at vegetarianhouse.us, including appetizers, soup, salad, sandwiches, dazzling desserts, organic fruit and vegetable juices. Vegetarian House, 520 East Santa Clara Street, San Jose. catering available. Open for weekday lunch specials from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m., dinner 5 to 9, Saturday and Sunday 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. Call 408-292-3798, vegetarianhouse.us.
What do Paul McCartney, the Skinny Bitch Ultimate Everyday Cookbook, and a box of gourmet chocolates have in common? You can find all three at PETA.org. Check out the latest buzz about your favorite animal-friendly celebrities, discover fun and fabulous gifts for the entire family, and find out ways to help all of our furry, feathered, and finned friends. PETA.org has something for every animal lover. Get active, get informed, and maybe even get yourself a gift at PETA.org today.
This is Go Vegan with Bob Linden.
Well, and if you've been listening, you know, for the past few weeks on this program, we have been honoring Cesar Chavez. Cesar Chavez was a social justice hero. He's a hero to workers' rights activists and also to peace and anti-war activists and to anti-nuclear activists. And Cesar Chavez was a vegan animal rights activist himself. You don't believe me? What, you think I'm making this up because I'm a tree-hugging, cow-kissing, pig-supporting chicken lover? Well, shall we explore the life and times of Cesar Chavez, whose birthday we just celebrated as a holiday, and this weekend the big parade in his honor in San Francisco, at which I spoke last year. I wonder why they didn't invite me back. Was it that I pointed out that if Cesar Chavez had been attending that event, celebrating his birthday, he wouldn't be able to find anything to eat? It wasn't that I wasn't invited back. I had a scheduling conflict, had to be in Southern California this weekend. But now I'm honored to have a special guest on today's program to give us insight into the life of the heroic Cesar Chavez. It is his eldest granddaughter, Teresa Chavez Delgado. Welcome to Go Vegan with Bob Linden. Teresa, how are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you, Bob. Thank you for having me on the program. I love being able to speak about my grandfather.
Yeah, so it must have been very interesting growing up a granddaughter of Cesar Chavez. What was that like?
It was very interesting. I wasn't exactly sure what kind of effect he was having on people until we started going out to marches, and we would go to rallies, and we would do leafleting, and I kind of just thought that's what you do with your family. So I realized the reaction that certain people were having towards my grandfather, and it wasn't a good reaction, that's for sure. And then I started asking a lot of questions. What's he doing, and don't people like him? So that was my introduction to what my grandfather was doing. But definitely, first and foremost, always in my heart, he is my grandfather first.
Mm-hmm.
And then Cesar Chavez, the union activist leader, next.
So there are many people for him and against him. How do you think he came into leadership in the workers' rights movement with the United Farm Workers?
I'm sorry, I didn't catch that question.
Yeah, how do you think he came into leadership in the workers' rights movement with the United Farm Workers? Why was he the one?
Well, he was actually a farm worker himself. And I do recall that his brother, Richard, would tell us the story of how they would be working in the field, and some of the workers were being treated really awful, and some of the other workers were just being treated awful. And he would say, somebody's got to do something about this, I can't believe this. And he was always talking about it. And once he left that line of work and he started organizing for the community service organization in San Jose, here in San Jose, California, he always kept that in his heart, that he was the farm worker first, and that they were being treated poorly, and that they feed this country, so, and other countries as well. So he always kept that close to his heart. And when he talked to the CSO about organizing farm workers, getting out of the city and actually organizing farm workers, that's kind of where they parted ways, because they didn't feel that it can be done because they're migratory mainly because they're migratory. But my grandfather thought otherwise, and here we are with a holiday and everything else a couple of, you know, decades later.
Yeah, yeah, and organizing boycotts, and in fact, oddly enough, his veganism, his animal rights activism, comes from a boycott, but not the boycott we might think.
Exactly, it comes from his dog boycott. I know I wasn't around at the time, but in the mid-60s and late-60s, he needed some protection because, as we talked about earlier, there were a lot of people that were not too happy about what he was doing. So people started telling him, you know, you need to get some protection, and not just your son-in-laws or your sons. You need some actual protection. So somebody gave him some dogs, and these were very well-trained German Shepherd dogs, purebred dogs that were absolutely beautiful. And he named them Boycott and Huelga, and Huelga means strike in Spanish. So once he got those dogs, he really fell in love with animals. And my mom said that, my mom is Caesar's daughter, when they were growing up, they didn't have a lot of animals because they moved around so much. So the most they had was like maybe a stray cat or two that they kind of just took in and kind of, you know, was maybe a neighborhood stray that then became their cat or something to that.
Their family member, yes.
Right, a family member. But they had to, unfortunately, they had to move around so much they weren't able to. So once he had those dogs, he really started thinking about animal rights. And then he really thought that, you know, we just don't have the right to kill animals and eat them. So that's when he stopped eating meat, and then he went macrobiotic, which is very closely related to to being a vegan, and he also didn't wear any leather products.
So he was a vegan animal rights activist.
Yes, he was.
I know, and he spoke very highly of vegan animal rights activists. He did call them the highest caring people, and he spoke out about the exploitation of animals in experimentation and for clothing, for sport, and for food. And it's quite amazing that whenever I tell people that he was a vegan, they're very surprised. But he spoke out and said that if you really are against cruelty, that you should first give up eggs and dairy. And I guess he was one to know.
Right. And he, like I said, he also didn't wear any leather products. And my cousins and I, he has, at the time of his passing, there were 32 grandchildren. There's more than that now and some great grandchildren. But those of us that were around when he was around, we kind of used to chuckle at the odd shoes he would wear or the suspenders and different things like that, because we would say, "What are you wearing?" And he'd say, "I don't wear leather. You know, I definitely don't wear animals." So he really stuck to his guns.
Wow. So he really was the real thing, definitely. And so has he inspired many of his family members to be vegan? Or do I have to bring back his lectures to family members? Or
Well, Bob, you should be at a family Thanksgiving because it is quite the spread. My grandfather fell in love with Indian food, especially when he knew all the options that it gave you, you know, being a vegan, that there's so many different options within Indian food, being macrobiotic and vegan and and also, you know, some vegetarianism. So he really loved that, and he bought my grandmother a beautiful Indian cookbook, which she still has, and she learned to cook all this great Indian food. So at some of our Thanksgivings, we would have, you know, we would have the Indian food for the vegans and for the macrobiotics, and then we would, of course, have stuff for the vegetarians, which would sometimes include fish and cheese, and then we would have stuff for the meat eaters as well. So we have the whole spread, and at any given time, like I said, I have a very large family. We're very close, and at any given time, someone's, you know, telling my grandmother at Christmas, oh, by the way, I'm vegan, so don't put this in the tamale, and I'm vegetarian, so don't put that in the tamale. So it's pretty interesting.
It gets interesting. Okay, well, I'll have to come over on Thanksgiving then, I guess. And,
I will remind you.
Okay, yeah, and I should point out to people in the San Francisco Bay Area, I mean, it's very easy to be vegan and enjoy Mexican food. I'm sure that Cesar Chavez would have appreciated that I mentioned the website for recipes. It's veganmexicanfood.com. The veganmexicanfood.com has a website, and in the Bay Area you have a wonderful vegan restaurant, Gracias Madre, in San Francisco, Flacos in Beverly, in Berkeley, and Donna's Tamales are around town. There's a great vegan queso coming out from a company in Florida called Food for Lovers, and Amy's has a number of vegan burritos available. I wanted to thank Happy Bamboo Restaurant in San Jose for providing vegan chicken enchiladas for my lecture to the students at the West Oakland Middle School, a day when we did a salute to the vegan hero, Cesar Chavez. So, that was wonderful. If you want Mexican food in the South Bay, it's at Happy Bamboo. So, and we've been talking to Teresa Chavez Delgado, the granddaughter of Cesar Chavez, and we have maybe a minute left. And you knew him for how long? Did you the first 20 so years of your life, or?
Well, I was about 21 when my grandfather passed away. So we were very close, and he actually even inspired me. Because when myself and my three sisters were born, we were vegetarian because my parents were on the vegetarian kick, and then all of a sudden they turned and they stopped being vegetarian, but I always stood strong and said, I want to be like we called him Thapa Caesar, I want to be like Thapa Caesar, so I'm not going to eat animals. So it made it a little tough for my mom some years. I was always, you know, she was cooking so that I wouldn't have meat. So he was definitely an inspiration to me. And okay. I've been vegetarian all my life, and I may even try going vegan one day.
Oh, okay. Well, we've talked about getting together, and I think we're going to do that. We're going to go to the Google cafeteria and explore the vegan options, and we'll check some the Mexican restaurants. And then you need me at the Thanksgiving dinner, so I think I'm going to be the one who crashes the party this year. So. Thanks for being with us today, Teresa. I really appreciate it.
Okay, thank you very much, Bob.
Okay, take care.
Okay, si se puede. Goodbye.
Okay.
Si se puede. And gracias to Teresa Chavez Delgado. There's a vegan social day planned at Sugar Plum Vegan Cafe next Saturday, April 16th, noon to 4 p.m. Free music, local artists, information tables, and a solar cooking demonstration, and more. What more could you possibly want? Again, that's next Saturday, noon to 4 p.m. at Sugar Plum Vegan Cafe, 2315 K Street, Midtown Sacramento. Thanks to Dennis Stovall for audio production. And whenever you're traveling, whether it's around the corner or around the world, and you want to find a vegan restaurant or a vegan-friendly restaurant or health food store, go to happycow.net. And for events around the San Francisco Bay Area, visit the website of the San Francisco Vegetarian Society. It is sfvs.org. And vegan and animal rights groups get special discounts from Shalom Printing in Sherman Oaks, California. Eddie, the owner, is vegan. Contact him. It's shalomprinting@aol.com. Let's be friends on Facebook, where I am Bob Linden, that's L-I-N-D-E-N, and all the little birds go tweet, 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 and now humans do too on Twitter, where we meet and tweet at Go Vegan Radio. Please send money, okay? Help us buy airtime. You make your check payable to Go Vegan Radio and send it to P.O. Box 475-414, San Francisco, California, 94147. If you'd like to advertise, email bob@goveganradio.com. And for archives and podcasts and to donate online, it's goveganradio.com. Greetings, Bob Linden here with the Go Vegan Friday feature on Green 960. Don't miss Go Vegan with Bob Linden this Sunday at 3 p.m. We'll talk to the dynamic duo of Jamie Kilstein and Allison Kilkenny of Citizen Radio. He's a world-famous comedian whom you've probably seen on Conan, the Comedy Channel, CNN, or MTV. And you may have read her writing in the Huffington Post or The Nation or elsewhere. They are very impressive. G. Gordon Liddy said of Kilkenny's writing that it made him want to vomit. And Glenn Beck called Kilstein a, quote, doofus. We bring you the best guests on Go Vegan with Bob Linden. And with the Cesar Chavez parade this weekend in San Francisco, my guest will also be Teresa Chavez Delgado, the eldest granddaughter of Cesar Chavez. You don't believe me that Cesar Chavez was a vegan animal rights activist? Let's ask his granddaughter this Sunday at 3 p.m. Broadcast of Go Vegan with Bob Linden is made possible in the Bay Area by Vegetarian House, world-class vegan organic GMO-free cuisine in downtown San Jose at 520 East Santa Clara Street. Visit vegetarianhouse.us, and by Loving Hut Vegan Restaurants with over 200 worldwide, the very first one in North America in Milpitas at 516 Barber Lane. Stanford students and faculty have a Loving Hut at 165 University Avenue in Palo Alto. For the Loving Hut in the Bay Area near you, including three in San Francisco and Elk Grove and San Jose, visit lovinghut.us. In Sacramento, next Saturday, April 16th, a vegan social day is planned at Sugar Plum Vegan Cafe from noon to 4 with free music, local artists, information tables, a solar cooking demonstration, and more. That's Sugar Plum Vegan Cafe next Saturday, the 16th, noon to 4 at 2315 K Street in Midtown Sacramento. Get a 10% discount right now on any order over $50 at veganessentials.com when you put GVR, for Go Vegan Radio, in the coupon box at veganessentials.com. Looking for a realtor with the ethics of a vegan and with 30 years Bay Area real estate experience? Contact Judith Brooks, Remax Pioneer. She even teaches college-level real estate. Email jbrooks, J-B-R-O-O-K-S, at remax.net. Become a sponsor of the show. Advertise your vegan and cruelty-free products. Email me, Bob, at goveganradio.com. And please be my amigo on Facebook. I'm Bob Linden on Twitter, Go Vegan Radio. And for archives and podcasts and to make a tax-deductible donation to support this radio program, and when you support the show, you're also supporting Progressive Talk Radio, visit goveganradio.org.